Hey, welcome everybody.
Morning.
Welcome to Answering the Call of Your Purpose. It's Luanne Maureen here, and I have another weekly beautiful guest for you. And her name is Frida Sorensen. Is that how you say it? Yeah.
Yes. Perfect.
So before we jump in, Frida, I just want to remind everybody, if you're new watching this, really the reason for creating this podcast is, well, I'm all about purpose, and I want to share with you women and men who have been, or who have actually answered the call. You know, there's one thing to hear it, but there's another thing to actually answer it and put their beautiful work out into the world. And so I thought, you know, this is a great kind of platform to bring inspiration to you. So that is the reason. And we're just going to jump straight in today. So my beautiful guest, and you're over in the Philippines at the moment, Frida, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
But I know you spend a lot of time in Melbourne, Australia. So yes. I just want to, you know, a quick introduction. I know you worked in social work for many, many years, and this kind of led you to the work, but you have a graduate diploma in counselling and human services. Through the La Trobe University in Australia, Melbourne, and been a professional meditation teacher and graduate of the Australian Centre for Meditation and Mindfulness. And of course, you've had over 10 years of personal yoga and meditation practice, and you look so young to even have those numbers there, but...
A little wrinkle there, everybody.
So tell us, Frida, what are you doing right now? Right now,
I'm actually quite new into the coaching business, but I'm a mindfulness and meditation coach, and I work with stressed and busy female entrepreneurs and business owners. I teach very simple relaxation and stress resilience skills, as well as really focus on the self-care, you know, really nurturing and looking after ourselves. So I do one-on-one coaching with that.
And I must have to give you just a little shout out here, because I've been working with you and still are in there. And it's so important. You know, you just really nailed it there. It's kind of like the spiritual entrepreneur or business, you know, owner. Can be really, really stressful, even if you're on purpose, like you're trying to get involved in all these things. So I'm loving working with you at the moment.
But thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Maybe the homework. I've got to
talk about that.
What led you to where you are today?
So you mentioned a little bit about my background in social work, but there's actually two parts to what has led me to the work that I'm doing today. And the first part really started early, from very early childhood, my relationship with stress. And my parents are actually multicultural, so I grew up both in the Philippines and in Denmark, where my dad's from. And we spent most of the time in the Philippines, probably 9 months out of a year. We'd be in the Philippines. My parents run a business. I was raised by all sorts of family members. It was, I'm very grateful for my childhood. And then 3 or 4 months of that time, we'd go back to Denmark. You know, you have a child that's having to juggle two different cultures, two or three different languages. But not only that, I was actually juggling two school systems. So I was doing 9 months, 8 or 9 months in the local village school here in where I'm from. It's a very small provincial village. And I remember being knee deep in water in the classroom during rainy season. You know, there was one year we had a ginormous hole in the blackboard, and the teacher would just ride around. And then, 3 or 4 months out of the year, we'd go back to Denmark. And I was very lucky that the local school there, where my dad's from, they allowed me just to slot back into the school system. But in order to keep being able to do that, my father was actually homeschooling me while I was in the Philippines. So I'd I'd, you know, be Monday to Friday in the local school, and then on the weekends, I'd be trying to cram in the whole Danish, you know, school curriculum.
You speak two languages as well.
Like, yeah, more. I speak three or four languages, actually. So we have a dialect, a local dialect, which is very different to Tagalog, which is the Filipino national language. Yeah, so we have so many different dialects that, you know, there had to be a national language so that we all could, you know, understand each other. But going back to that, it really built in me this habit from a very young age, a habit of always feeling out of time, right? So I was always behind in the Danish school system. I was always behind in the Filipino school system. And then there is this feeling of being out of time, you know, because on the weekends, I also just wanted to go out and play, right? So if I didn't get something, if I was, you know, finding it hard to learn something, there is this feeling that, oh my God, I'm running out of time, right? And that's one of the keys to feeling stressed, is that we don't feel we have the resources to deal with the challenge or the threat ahead of us. And as a young, you know, as a young child, it was this feeling of, oh my God, I'm always having to catch my tail. So I did really well and I love my childhood. I'm very blessed to have had such a rich, you know, and have such a rich cultural background. So the second part to that story was then, you know, because I didn't have enough of just having the two cultures and having to straddle two cultures, I moved to Australia and became a social worker. And I came straight out of university and into a youth worker role where I was working with young men in prison and working with really, really, really vulnerable young people. And again, came across this feeling that I didn't have the resources. I mean, especially the inner resources, you know, the mental and emotional capacity to, and the self-care skills, by the way, you know, it's not something they teach you at university. So it really led me to, I mean, it really made it super clear that the anxiety and the stress I felt previously, it just blew up during my first 5 years working in social work. And then very slowly started to go out and find, you know, to actually upskill myself, to work out how do I continue to do meaningful work without burning myself out, you know, because the whole industry was full of this kind of way of work. I mean, you know, a lot of different work industries, we burn ourselves out. And there's almost no, there isn't a great deal of thinking about the individual, you know, the energy, the vitality that goes into this work. So, yeah, so from there, I started exploring mindfulness, meditation, yoga practices, and
so was that so you could cope in the job, you know, because it feels like,
yeah,
me,
it was
an amazing service, and you know that you're providing these young people, mm-hmm. right? But also you were so young as well, and then fresh out of uni, got you know, but yeah, and all part of that is too though, there's. It's not naivety. I'm not trying to say that. It's just like everything is new. So you put everything in, and then you go, the real world happens, the stress, all that. So then what I'm hearing is that you went out and started to find ways that you could help yourself, you know, to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I have to admit, I spent a lot of time just freaking out that everybody looked like they had their stuff together. And freaking out inside going, why do I not feel like I have it together, right? Everybody seems to be working really well. They're professional. They're just coping. They seem to be coping well.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then the more I learned about myself, the more I was able to actually step out of this system that we created for ourselves and look at the madness, you know, I have to say madness that we think is normal, that we take for granted that it's normal to work, you know, 50 to 80 hours, answering emails at 11 p.m., picking up client calls, you know, during dinner time, that's meant to be your family time, coming to work sick, you know, it started to become really clear that you can choose to step out of this madness, you know, and to certain degrees, obviously.
And so from that you learned, so did you, like, when did you leave that career, or, you know,
It did take me a while, because I did love the work and it was meaningful work. And I think because I've grew up in a third world country and seeing poverty, and I always had this urge to be helping in some capacity, and because I understand the child in me so much, you know, the child that perhaps wasn't heard or perhaps didn't know how to ask for help, I really connected with young people. I also really connected with the women, you know, most of my colleagues were women, and how as women, we just have this, urge to give so much of ourselves with very little concern for our own well-being, you know, and our own replenishing back into ourselves. So I started supporting other people within my organization. And I was supervising staff as well. So that was a very good opportunity to start to change the culture and teach people how to have better work boundaries as well, that you can ask for help, you know, you can take a sick day. That's what they're there for. If you need even just to have a mental health day, you know, So that really then led me to go, oh, so I ended up developing a mindfulness for social workers within my organization.
Fantastic. Gosh.
And, yeah. You know, incredibly amazing opportunity for me to be able to do that, obviously, but also to be able to change even just a little bit of the work culture that we find ourselves in. And that's what really led me to then go, oh my goodness, this is what I want to be doing. I want to be helping people put themselves first, really.
Well, I love that, because that's kind of leads into the next question of, what do you believe is your purpose?
Yeah. So I think my purpose is to be, you know, to put it very simply, is to help people realize their worth, to help people take the steps to prioritize themselves first. Because the implications of when we don't do that, and I saw that so clearly in the social work industry, you have these incredibly giving, caring, compassionate people who burn themselves out, and you know, the helping industry has a reputation for very high numbers of people burning out.
Realism.
The implications. Yeah. Sorry.
Healers and therapists and counselors.
Yes.
Exactly. It's the same.
Exactly, because it's our energy that we give out. It's, you know, we're giving out our being to other people, and that's very much other industries are very similar. You are giving yourself to the work, but the implications when we don't put ourselves first is, you see, even if you're just in the social work industry, you see young people being left behind, young people being let down again and again and again, because these good-meaning people have given more than what they could actually give, which then has a ripple effect into the world. You know, a young person who is abandoned for the 10th time, going back into the criminal system, or, you know, if you're running a business, like your clients miss out, and the good, you know, the change that you could create in them, and then the change they create in their work and into the world, it's this ripple effect, right? So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so it's if we can turn that around and we can put the energy back into ourselves, then the ripple effect you could create with that, you know, yeah, I think it's incredible.
And so how did you answer the call of your purpose? Because what I'm hearing is that, you know, of course you saw there was a huge problem, you know, in where you were working and in that industry, and then you did practices, or you learned practices, created your own program for them. But what did it take for you to answer that?
I mean, I think the first step was really to recognize that I had something to offer, and then being brave enough to, you know, for starters, go to my employer and say, hey, can I do this? And I will do it while still doing my load of work, you know. And that was also giving out another portion of my energy. So I think one of my values is courage, actually. So
I love that.
So it's being an introvert, you know, being courageous and putting yourself out there is incredibly hard. So putting myself out there to my organization and saying, you don't even have to pay me extra, I will do it because I care about the work we do. I care about my colleagues. I care about changing the culture. And then the second part to that was then to recognize that I can't do the work that I really want to be doing if I stay within the same career. So then it was confronting the uncomfortable feeling of what do I need to do? What do I need to change? And that is to maybe give up some of my security and go, I'm going to go and pursue this other type of career, other type of work, or I need to re-educate myself. Not completely from the beginning, but nobody knows of me. I haven't, you know, I don't have a lot of experiences in this industry. So that was the second calling. I actually quit my social work career and I enrolled in a meditation teacher training course. And then there was also another calling that was happening at the time, and that was the calling to figure out what is my other heritage? What is my Filipino heritage? You know, and how does that fit in to who I am? So I was super lucky that I have a partner who is, you know, loves traveling and exploring and personal development as much as me. So we both quit our jobs and we moved back to the Philippines, where, you know, moved back into my childhood home. So, and then, you know, just started offering anybody in my community, my friends, my family, the opportunity to learn meditation and mindfulness and yoga. And so I started the first yoga school here in my province. So that was sort of my first, you know, way of going out and really teaching these modalities or these practices.
That's fantastic. And it is really inspiring, because, you know, and that's why this is, you know, why I'm doing these is, you know, you think it does take courage and you have to be uncomfortable. You can't just stay the same and answer the call of your purpose, unfortunately.
You know,
and it's not sacrifice, it's just trusting and taking a chance, which I'm hearing, and kind of totally changed everything. So then why do you think it's important to do your purpose work, or for you and for everybody, you know, for anyone who's watching?
It's such a brilliant question. I mean, the first thing I thought about when I read this question was actually, have you read about the five regrets of the dying by Bronnie Ware? But the first, and you know, if I recommend anybody who hasn't read these to go and look up the top five regrets of the dying by Bronnie Ware.
She's a palliative care nurse, I think.
Yes, that's right. So she was working with people at the very end of their lives. And what I was getting at is that the number one regret that people have, and I'm going to read it out so I get it right, is that I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life that others expect of me. So, I mean, I get goosebumps every time I read this, but this is really... for anyone who's not sure, who's feeling uncomfortable because something in them is wanting them to change or go out and do something different, this is the reason, is that when you find the thing that lights you up, or you find the thing that gives you meaning, you know, you can live a meaningful life, but you can also really give yourself to the world, you know, in whatever shape or form that is, whilst also making a meaningful life for yourself, not a happy life, because happiness is fleeting. You know, happiness is in the moment. It's like 30 seconds when you see the sunset. But meaning is for life, you know, So I think I'll leave it there because...
Oh, yeah, I know. We could get to give it... it's kind of like... I'm going to... You know, I never read that book, but I had a friend and she would read... She would just talk to me about it. You've just inspired me to actually go and download it or to buy it. Every time she would... You know, because I've had this reaction, this emotional reaction when you're talking about it, it's like, and don't wait to that end.
It's so, a reminder, isn't it, that we're lucky to be here. And regardless of where you're at, you know, if you're not really sure what you're doing or you want to do something but you don't know, it's like, go out and start now.
and I love how you're touching on meaning, and there's also joy, you know, purpose.
Yeah. Joy, you know, joy again, you know, like there's this, you know, the happiness throws around, but it's you kind of have to actively work at it, you know, to find the joy and the meaning and the happiness. And yeah, I think it comes through finding meaning with what you're doing.
Yeah, that's a big why, right? So knowing your purpose is one thing, and what else do you think it's taken to live and express your life purpose? So, I mean, like for me, I know my life purpose, but knowing and not doing is not necessarily, you know, doing
it. Yeah.
So it could be shadow work or healing. I mean, it's probably what you do now, but what else do you think can help you express and embody that purpose?
We touched on it before. I think the being willing to be uncomfortable, because so many of us are just so happy to be fine, you know, to be comfortable in what we're doing, to just do the same routine every day. And this is what meditation is so amazing for, is that it allows you to, and only if you have the courage comes back again, you have to have the courage to take a moment to figure out, what is that uncomfortable feeling that I get every time I read some inspiring story of someone who went out and did their thing? What is that uncomfortable feeling about, you know, my relationship with my mom that I don't want to talk, you know, I don't want to bring up? It's taking a moment to feel, what is that uncomfortable feeling? What is that dissatisfaction that I have with my life? What is the disappointment, you know, that niggling disappointment? It's having the courage to question, what is that? Why am I feeling that way? Explore that. And it might be that I'm in the wrong profession, or it might be that I'm not in the place with my husband that I want to be in, or I'm not expressing my creativity because I'm fearful of what people will say. It's being courageous enough to for starters, journal about that, you know, journal about your fear, your uncomfortableness, the thing that you want to create, you know, what is this feeling of not being loved or not being enough, you know, which is becoming this self-expression of giving everything and then exhausting myself. So that, I feel like that is the beginning, to be courageous enough to ask those questions, and to feel that in your body as well, because we have a tendency to avoid, suppress, distract ourselves. You've heard that one.
Numb it out, right?
We don't numb it. Yeah.
It's always there. It's always sitting there.
Exactly. Like, you know, once we've
feel it, acknowledge it, right?
Yeah, they're beautifully put. Yeah. And then of course the second step is to then go out and do whatever work you need to do. Do a course, do a personal development, read you know, Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now, or whatever you're inclined to do. Do exercise, or, you know, go for walks in nature. Anything that's going to jog or start to loosen. Those parts of you.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Thank you. So what I like to ask too is, who is a favorite person who you've worked with? And I mean, who you've, you know, kind of supported, and why are they your favorite, or one of your favorites? You
know? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have to say someone that's very near and dear to my heart is a colleague that I actually supported and worked with before I moved to the Philippines. And we were co-creating, co-running a youth leadership program. And the work that person brought to our work together was the creativity and the enthusiasm and the vitality that this person had that I was working with, and that really matched my skills as a leader. We were so well and so well supporting each other, and it really reminds me of the importance of community. You know, that when you are working on your own as an entrepreneur, it can be so heavy. It can be heavy, you know, that you have to make all the decisions yourself. You have to put yourself out there, your voice, your face. But when you have a community, you make decisions together. And especially as women, we're like hardwired to be pooling our resources.
Yeah.
And to be creating the thing in the world, you know. So even back in our tribal days, women would come together and create beautiful, supportive, you know, nurturing environments. So never underestimate, you know, the power of community and reaching out for help when you're not sure. Shout out to my lovely colleague from my days in social work.
Yeah, I know, we've got, there's so many similarities when you're talking. I'm like, yes, I love community. But it is so important. We are, and when we women, when they can get together, well, definitely when we were in the old days, but we can make so much from so little, you know, just using resources, but also our inner resources too.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh my God, I could talk to you for hours. But Frieda, where can we find you? And also, I see you've got a little special gift, and we can find you and we can opt in for that. So where can we find
Wonderful. So you can definitely find me on my website, and that's Frieda, it's friedaasorensen.com, and it'll appear down below. And you can also find me, my local business is Wellness with Frieda on Facebook, so you can go in and have a look at what I've been doing in my community. Get to know me a little bit there. I'm not super active there at the moment because I'm building my coaching business, but definitely you can also message me on there and connect with me that way. And then you can download a 24 ways to relax in less than 10 minutes. I'm all about relaxation and doing it quickly, doing it while you're sitting in front of your computer, doing it while you're, you know, preparing a tea, or you know, even if you just got a few minutes up your sleeves, you can definitely calm your nervous system and bring yourself back into a state of balance, even, you know, within a few minutes. So I really recommend you try that out.
because I've been working with you, and I'm sure I know some of us 24, which are fantastic, especially for busy entrepreneurs doing their work. But it made a huge difference for me, you know. And I remember, I'm like, oh, that's right, Frieda said to do this, and you know, when I'm feeling a bit wobbly. Okay, and then I'm good to go. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We're going to end on something kind of a little bit lighter, if you want to go there. But
yeah.
I love this question. Can you share something about you that nobody knows? Nobody knows anyway, but
yeah.
Or a habit you do, or something that something.
Yeah. Well, I hope. My partner knows this, and my 9-year-old nephew knows this as well. But and it ties into relaxation. So, actually, before I have to do something, as I said, I'm an introvert, and courage is one of my values. So, before I have to do anything where I put myself out there, but even when I run my sessions, I have a dance. I do a dance in front of my computer around my office. I have a playlist that I put on, and I just go for it. And sometimes this happens in the kitchen. It might happen, you know, while my partner's doing his work on his laptop. It's really just to like get your body moving, get the energy going. So for a meeting today, I had a little shimmy.
And I won't put you on the spot to show us, but what's your favorite song that you're dancing to at the moment? What's one of your favorites?
At the moment, I'm really connecting to the lover energy. So I'm really into archetypes. And lover is the side of us who's amazing at connecting with people, who is soft and gentle and puts herself first. So Change by Tracy Chapman is one that I've been listening to. And I can't quite remember some of the other ones. Let me just have a look.
We can put resources down too underneath.
How Long Will I Love You by Ellie Goulding. Beautiful, beautiful song. So that's more like a really bringing, you know, good for self-love. Really, you know, bringing those beautiful, beautiful loving vibes into yourself. But if you need to shake it out, Taylor Swift, Shake It Off. It's a good one. If you just need to like, whoa.
I know, I'm always looking for good music for my playlist. So, well, thank you so much, Frieda. It's been such a joy.
You're very welcome.
And so everybody go and see her over at FriedaASorensen.com. But the links will be below. She's given us two books you recommended two books, The Regrets of Dying and
Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now.
And then Change by Tracy Chapman. I love it. Thank you so much, Frieda. And
you're very welcome.
You know, we'll see more of you. Well, I'll see more of you because I'm still working with you. That's it. And everybody, come back each week. We have a new guest, but for now, let's celebrate, Frieda. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lou, for having me. It was so wonderful connecting. Bye.